Rich, have you got it together?
House will come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is February 24, 2016, the 13th day of the session. The next deadline is Friday, February 26. That's the last day for bills to be reported out of the out of committee in the House of Origin. Houses. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Present. Baker.
Here.
Baldwin.
Present.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger. Blackburn, Blake, Burkhart, Bird, Campbell, Kennedy, Clem, excused, Connolly, excused, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Escobel, Freeman, Gay, Greer, excused, Halverson, Harshman, excused. Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparik, Kinner, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, excused. Nicholas, excused. Northrup, Paxton, Pelkey, Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, excused, Throne, excused, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, excused, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, Burkhart, excused. 50 present, 10 excused.
The prayer of the day will be offered by the Reverend Dr. Daniel Mays, representing First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ.
Please pray with me. O God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we come to you this day, seeking your wisdom and direction, your care and your provision for us and all your people. We come together as many from different walks of life, from different parts of the state, with differing experiences and upbringings, differing values and opinions. Help us to listen to each other, to truly hear each other, and discern the value in these distinctions. We come together as one, a group collective sharing the same purpose. Help us to rally around our commonality and to place our shared existence as our priority. O God, in your mercy, hear our prayer, that the hours that lay ahead may be productive, filled with meaningful interaction, devoted service to your people, and diligent work on all our behalf. Hear us as we pray. Amen.
Representative Blake.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, please.
I'd like to introduce the doctor of the day right in the back here from Sweetwater County Memorial Hospital, Dr. Brandon Mack. Please give him a hand.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the
yes,
floor.
Yes, please.
In the back, please help me welcome the Torrington High School seniors and their teacher from last year, Mark Lenhart. Thank you.
Representative Kinner.
Well, and Jennings, go ahead.
Privilege of the floor, Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Are you guys tag-teaming me back there?
Yes, sir.
Is that Representative Jennings?
Yes, sir.
I see that. Representative Jennings, please proceed.
We'd like to introduce in the fishbowl the Sheridan and Johnson County leadership class.
And go ahead and stand, gang. And isn't it great? Yeah, let's give him a hand. We think it's awesome that in leadership training around Wyoming, they bring folks to Cheyenne to learn about the things that are going on down here. I know they spent the first part of the morning at the Supreme Court in here, and I'd like to think that this helps them become leaders in their communities. But also, I'd like to thank future legislators, so let's give them a big hand. Yeah.
One more privilege, sir.
Representative Jennings, please proceed.
Also in that group is, if you'd welcome my baby daughter, Kristen Jennings.
Journal report. Your journal committee reports that the journal of February 23rd, 2016 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representative Steinmetz and Schwartz. Messages from the Senate. Message number 6, Mr. Speaker, the Senate has completed consideration of the budget bill, House Bill 1. In accordance with JR 14-1G, the bill has been referred directly to a conference committee of 5 members to meet with a like committee from the House to report recommended amendments for final consideration by both houses with respect to both budget bills, House Bill 1, Senate File 1, and the amendments thereto. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 184. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to House Bill 1. The Senate conferees are Senator Ross, Chairman, Senator Burns, Senator Hastert, Senator Perkins, and Senator Wassenberger. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us to share some of her work this morning is Wyoming's Poet Laureate, Rose Hill. She was appointed by Governor Meade in July and is here this morning to read her poem titled Wyoming Hometown. Rose is a graduate of Sheridan High School and Sheridan College. Her poetry is written in free verse and reflects her focus on family, community, life in the West, and nature. Please help me welcome Wyoming's Poet Laureate, Rose Hill.
Thank you. I want to tell you how much I admire and respect each of you. You know, our politics may be, our philosophy may be different, but the fact that you give your time and your consideration to helping to govern the state is, to me, is a just a wonderful thing. I want to, you know, the world is small, growing smaller. I want to tell you something about some of your people. Rosie Berger came to Sheridan many years ago. No, I shouldn't say that, but anyway. she's When she first came to Sheridan, she rented a house from my husband and me. And so Rosie's been a friend for many years. When I first came to Sheridan, I got a job as a maid for the Kendricks at the mansion. And I lived there for 2 years and was a maid, served meals, and I was able to go to high school, graduate from high school while I was there. Anyway, I want to read, I'm going to read two poems to you. One is called Hometown Wyoming. I pulled a switch on him. Hometown Wyoming. After school, third grader Abby asked, "Grandma, can we make a quilt? Jamie's house burned down, and she has no blankets." Neighbors took the family in. Hometown folk brought food and clothes. Mrs. Jones offered a home at 10 cents on the dollar, appliances included. A spaghetti dinner earned some cash. Abby tied her soft pink quilt with satin ribbon to match, tucked a teddy bear inside. Whence comes this urge to help? From the generous breezes off Wyoming's mountain peaks, in the luminous quality of light, passed down father to son, mother to daughter? Where are these caring neighbors found? Hometown everywhere, Wyoming. And one more, just for a little smile. Cowboy in Disguise. This is an old, old poem, but I have great fun with it anyway. The time of the cowboy is gone, you say, and with it that working man of a wester day. Well, I saw the cowboy downtown today. He's hard at work in another way. He reins in his horses with a steering wheel, and now his Stetson has a harder feel. His high-top boot with the dogger heel now laces tight from toe of steel. The shirt looks the same right down to the rip, and the mustache, the same mustache guards his upper lip. But the belt that held the gun at his hip now holds a hammer or a welder's tip. There's a telltale clue that identifies that self-same cowboy in another guise. Is there a one of us who won't recognize those same old bow-legged blue Levi's? Thank you. Thank you.
We're now at that order of business of Senate files on first reading. The first file for introduction is Senate file 102. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate file 102 from Senator Ross, an act relating to public funds.
Senate file 102 is assigned to committee number 2, appropriations. The next file for introduction is Senate file 97. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 97 from Senator Coe, an act relating to education.
Senate File 97 is assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. The next file for introduction is Senate Joint Resolution 4. The reading clerk will read the resolution.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 4 from Senator Emmerich, a joint resolution requiring Congress to enact legislation providing uniform food labeling related to genetic engineering.
Senate Joint Resolution 4 is assigned to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next file for introduction is Senate File 100. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 100 from Senator Dockstader, an act relating to special districts.
Senate File 100 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next file for introduction is Senate File 101. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 101 from Senator Burns, an act relating to public health.
Senate File 101 is assigned to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next file for introduction is Senate File 95. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 95 from Senator Bernard, an act relating to consumer protection.
Senate File 95 is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred Senate File 20, Engrossed, Sales and Use Tax Remedy Revisions, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Kinner, Laux, Madden, Reeder, and Wilson, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred Senate File 62, Engrossed, Homemade Beverages, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Blackburn, Dayton, Jennings, Skinner, Laux, and Madden, Edwards and Reeder voted no, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 90, Lifetime Game and Fish Licenses, Purple Heart Recipients, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Klim, Freeman, Kirkbride, Larson, Petroff, Schwartz, and Steinmetz, signed by Representative Petroff, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, who was referred Senate File 34, Engrossed, Uniform Fiduciary Access to Digital Assets Act, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, Danswanitzer, Gay voted no, signed by Representative Danswanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred Senate File 3, Permissive Preference for Veterans and Private Employment, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Eklund, Laux, Reeder, Walters, and Daveswanitzer, signed by Daveswanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred Senate File 4, Military Service Member Protections, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Eklund, Laux, Reeder, Walters, Daveswanitzer, signed by Daveswanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 9, Engrossed, Railroad Quiet Zones, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Eklund, Walters, Daveswanitzer, Laux, and Reeder voted no, signed by Daveswanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 12, Engrossed, to Vietnam War Commemoration Number 2, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Kennedy, Eklund, and Walters. Those who voted no, Campbell, Laux, Reeder, and Daveswanitzer, signed by Daveswanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 28 engrossed, Carbon Capture, Storage, and Sequestration Permit, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Cannaday, Edmonds, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Somers, Walters, Gay voted no, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 74, State Miners Hospital Board Employees, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Cannaday, Edmonds, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Somers, and Walters. Gay voted no, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 89, Workers' Compensation-Time for Requesting Hearing, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that a do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Cannaday, Edmonds, Gay, Kasparic, Larson, Lockhart, Somers, and Walters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
Re-referrals, Chairman Zwanitzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 8, Transportation, would like to re-refer two bills, Senate File 9 and Senate File 12, and we would like to refer those to your Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, Senate Files 9 and 12 are re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. We're now in the order of business of bills on second reading. The first... What's going on back there? Representative Kasparic, do you have a re-referral?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, I do. We would like to refer Senate File 74, State Miners Hospital Board Employees, to the Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, Senate File 74 is re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Now, we're on that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 10. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 10 from Senator Perkins, an act relating to civil procedure.
There are amendments. Chairman Zwanitzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 10 and ask for your approval. What this does, this relates to the bill that we spoke of yesterday about three firearms being exempt from the statutes. And what I really wanted to do is kind of run where we had an exemption for my dolls and coin collections and stuff, but that wouldn't be germane to the act. So what I am trying to do to maintain some sort of fairness for those folks, because now if you happen to be a gun owner, you would get those exemptions. But if you're not, then you have lost $3,000 worth of exemptions. And I just wanted to bring that to the body's attention and hopefully get an aye vote.
Representative Burkhart, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I would ask for a question on this, though. That was a very specific one. Does this fall into the subject of the bill? I'm asking for rules on this one.
At the call of the chair of the Rules Committee, we'll convene, please, and we'll discuss the issue that's been raised. After consultation with the Rules Committee and consideration of Representative Burkhart's question, the ruling from the Rules Committee is that the amendment is germane. So we're back on second reading amendment number one to House Bill to Senate File 10, Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would say this is a good amendment. Frankly, most firearms now, if you go buy a new one, you're going to spend more than $1,000 each on them. And if you are into some of the more expensive ones, even the amount of money in here won't cover one, believe me. So plus it does take care of these other things and just moves all of the exceptions on execution up a little bit for personal items, bedding, furniture, and those kind of things, which probably matches with current costs of a lot of stuff.
Representative Gurr, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to the amendment and would encourage you a no vote on the amendment. The bill as presented was clear, clean, concise, and let's just leave it that way and not muddle it up.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Zwanzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And my attempt was to kind of keep it fair for everybody across the board. As compared to if you are a firearm owner, then you would get this special privilege of creating an extra $3,000. So basically, my attempt is to simply put in firearms as part of household goods and limiting the amount of exemption under that, but raising it up to $7,000 compared to the $4,000 and just saying that you still can't do more than $3,000 and claim guns towards household goods more than $3,000. So policy decision, and I would ask for your favorable vote.
We're voting on second reading amendment number one to Senate File 10. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number one to Senate File 10 has failed. Senate File 10, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time here? No objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 11. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 11 from Transportation, an act relating to the Military Department.
Senate File 11, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 19. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 19 from Revenue, an act relating to public funds.
There is an amendment. Representative Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I move second reading amendment number one to Senate File 19 and explain the logic. You might recall yesterday we were talking about the top of page three when we were talking about who's eligible. You have on line two and three, you have county, municipality, school district, and another a member raised the issue, does this include special district, or I should say districts, okay, or joint powers boards. And if you look where that's inserted is right after school district, we add joint powers board or any other local government entity. It was a gray line as to whether a joint powers board falls within the statutory definition of a local entity. So I urge you adopt this amendment.
Anyone for the first time? Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number one to Senate File 19. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to Senate File 19 is passed. Senate File 19, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 21. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 21 from the Revenue Committee, an act relating to mine product taxes.
Senate File 21, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 29. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 29 from the Management Council, an act relating to administration of government.
Senate File 29, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 36. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 36 from Corporations, an act relating to limited liability companies.
Senate File 36, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 103. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 103 from Senator Ross, an act relating to administration of government.
There are amendments. Chairman Zwanitzer, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number one, the Senate File 103, and ask for its favorable introduction. If it gets favorable introduction, I'll be withdrawing the next one. But if not, we'll try for two bites of the apple. What this does, you remember yesterday, colleagues, is it attacks the at-will employment contract section that we're putting in the statute. And so what I've basically done in this first amendment is ask that on page 2, we delete everything's in line 13 through 17. So in my mind, what it does is take out all the micromanagement while leaving all the intent of the bill alone. So we still keep the continued authorization of all the positions. It allows the Appropriations Committee to oversee all the contracts, to know what they all are. It puts them all in the budget process and makes it very transparent. What it doesn't do is make you, the committee, or this body have specific authorization and doesn't make them vote on keeping or denying each one of those contracts. They still certainly have purview to do this. They're just not mandated to. Technically, I guess my biggest concern, as I mentioned yesterday, was that last line, you can't reauthorize a contract without prior legislative approval. I just think that gets murky when you deny it 1 year and maybe an agency needs that kind of type of contract, and it just cleans up the statute by still allowing all these processes, but it doesn't have an unintended consequence. And I'd be happy to answer any questions on the amendment.
Anyone for the first time? I think there's one forthcoming here. Chairman Harshman.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Appreciate the bringer this amendment, but I think really it goes down to what we want to be involved in as the appropriations branch of the government. And I think, just on our past history, and it was really before my time in the legislature, three governors ago, and we had a massive growth in AWACS. And then after that governor left, the AWACS were still here. And then the next governor and the discussion with the legislature, and we approved it. We then went into this massive boom of revenues, and, we don't want these contract employees. They don't have benefits. Let's pull them in, make them all state employees. We want to have this good quality state employees doing this work and not have any kind of uncertainty with a contract. So it's what we're trying to do really with this bill is just guard against that. And so if they are established, you can still establish them. We have to certainly talk about them then when we come back into session. And again, we're the part-timers. I mean, we come down here, do the people's work, and go back home. But I think we're not here to see all this action that goes on and all these contracts that are initiated across a large organization such as our state government. So I think it gives us a little bit of oversight, which is proper, and particularly as we're asked to appropriate the funds. So on and against. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Zwanitzer, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I completely agree with the good chairman, and that's why I brought this amendment. And it was a couple years before my time. But we played this game in the 90s where we didn't want more state employees, and so I would say our branch of government was complicit in that we had lots of AWACS but they weren't state employees. And then many of you remember the debates we've had the last 10 years, how much we grew government in that decade, and we added all these new state employees. Well, a lot of them actually were AWACS that the former governor converted over. But you all remember that we cut out 85 positions of this year's budget. Many of you hopefully looked at what those positions were. If you add contracts, it's not just the Appropriations Committee, but every contract now is going to be, assumably, if we're going to deny it, hopefully it's going to be in the general appropriations bill that this body looks at. But what if it's not? I mean, I guess is my fear, the committee could deny those AWACS, and we may never know if they're not in the general appropriations bill what they even are. And I just find that makes our process a lot more difficult as a legislative body of deciding what shall be approved and what shall be denied. And that's a greater knowledge base, I think, for all of us to know specifically what some of these AWACS do. And I am concerned that we're only here 1 month a year, and things change drastically, as we found this out this last year in the state, that if we need some contract positions over the years, we have one this year. Let's say somebody initiates a contract in June. We deny it next February. It's a good denial, whatever, and things change in a year and a half. You almost have to go back and wait for the legislature to convene again before another position similar to that. It's not really defined. And so that's what worries me, that it's kind of murky in that respect. And we are only here 1 month a year. And it also worries me for those people who take AWEC contract positions. So let's say in April of this year, you sign up for a contract, and they're 1 year, the maximum allowable of AWECs is 24 months. And so you go in good faith and take a contract with the state that you think is going to be 2 months with that agency, but somewhere they're going to have a clause that, subject to the legislature, we may cancel your contract, which is certainly in our purview to do, but I think that makes it much more difficult for people to go take on a multi-year contract or even a one-year contract if they start in July. And I think it also makes it difficult for us, trying to cut down the budget, if somebody has a year-long project, for us to come in 9 months in and cut it and say, no, we didn't really think you should do this executive branch, we're going to cut the contract. Well, then in some cases, and I defer to the committee and to this body, that we would make the right decision, but it does make it a little more difficult for these contracts that are a year long that we would cut it 9 months in. And so I'm not trying to necessarily kill the bill. I am just trying to make it straightforward, giving the governor the responsibility to put all of these AWECs in front of the Appropriations Committee and this body, just that extra lines 13 through 16 about having to specifically approve or deny each one of these in the general appropriations bill, and that if we forget one or they don't mention one, it automatically terminates, I just think causes a lot of situations that we may not be anticipating and we may not be ready for. So I would ask you to approve the amendment. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 103. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 103 has failed. We're now on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 103. Chairman Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 103. This will be the toned-down version, and you'll see members on page 2, lines 14 and 15. So this is another attempt of mine to make sure we don't get into an unexpected consequence, that basically the Appropriations Committee or this body as a legislature in its entirety will have to specifically deny that position, otherwise it stays into effect. And then we take out lines 16 and 17. So the burden is on us as a legislature to specifically deny it. I'm just afraid that we may have a contract for whatever reason. It comes late into the process in December or January. We don't know what it does. It doesn't make the appropriations bill in time. What kind of happens in those situations? And so I think this it puts the impetus on us that if we miss a contract somewhere, it doesn't automatically get canceled. And I think that's just a safe preventative fix so we don't end up in an unintended consequence.
Anyone for the first time? Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I think this changes kind of the whole duty in our whole relationship, this amendment. And so then we have to specifically deny. And I think, again, as we come down here, I think we want to be upfront on what's happened and look at all these and be able to approve and authorize and continue forward. I think we're capable of making those decisions. We do that all the time. This is the whole idea is that these don't go in unnoticed and that we have to specifically authorize them. Not now, what this amendment would do is say we have to specifically deny them. And they will remain in effect, page 2, line 15, unless we specifically terminated them. And I just don't think that's where we want to go with this. I think the idea is to make us aware, and then we have to make the appropriate action, and then we're capable of doing that. We add positions when they're needed. We've done that, and so on and against.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I want to be clear, the intent of the bill and the intent of the amendment. We're going to either approve or deny with the amendment number 2 within the body of the general appropriations bill. So I want an affirmation from maybe the good chairman of appropriations or someone that we're actually going to have a footnote within the general appropriations bill, i.e. House Bill 1, that says this position was denied, because otherwise at-will employees are not otherwise referred to in the general appropriations bill. So I think we need to be very specific about how this news is delivered. It sounds like it only can come through a footnote within the general appropriations bill based on the governor's request, but I need that confirmed. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Croker, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A kind of a follow-up question along those lines. If the answer is that we need a specific budget footnote, wouldn't that then make that footnote eligible to be line item vetoed by the governor? So are we essentially giving him the power to overrule us? So I guess I just want a clarification on that as well.
Madam Minority Floor Leader, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, we talked about this bill yesterday, but I don't really think the fundamental question was ever asked, which is, why do we need to do this at all? What is the mischief we are trying to prevent? Has there been dramatic growth in AWACS? I don't think so. We haven't budgeted that much money. But my real concern is that we seem to forget from time to time that we are the legislative branch. And of course, we appropriate the money and we have control over the purse, and that's very important. But quite frankly, most of the time we are not here. And the chief executive and the executive branch has got to be able to function when we are not here. And if the AWAC process is abused, we know how to fix it when we do get here. But we're almost like trying to stop something before it's even happened, which will make it harder for the executive branch to do their job. And so if this amendment addresses that concern, then I would vote aye on the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think let's just keep in mind what we're trying to do with this bill. It's really just it goes to the duties of the budget division, and when the budget comes to us, and that then we have to have this discussion, and then we'll give the thumbs up or thumbs down during the markup like we do with other items in the standard budget. And I think this amendment, I think the representative from Senator of State brought up a pretty interesting idea. So then it gives into this denial piece that you specifically say you deny, and then that word, of course, is scratched through. And so it puts a different burden on us, too, at the end of this. I guess I didn't even consider that until he thinks it's a very good point. And so I think a good friend from Cheyenne mentioned mischief. I don't think it's mischief. I think we're trying to prevent mischief. That's the way I look at this. I mean, that's what we're elected to do, is appropriate funds. That's our number one job. And so I think we want to have the full picture when we do that and know exactly how these things are affecting our budget. So on and against. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just say that we have a lot of real and actual mischief to deal with in this body, and we don't really need to worry about mischief that is unlikely to occur and has not happened. I'd vote aye on the amendment.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Chairman Zwanis, Sir Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I would argue the process now works. I'm not exactly sure what this bill is trying to address. We've cut 1.5% from every agency. Everybody in the state is on notice. And so under the process now, if the governor needs to approve an AWAC position, I mean, it's on the chief executive to do that. They're going to have to – we know what those AWACs are. They come through the process. It's not like – I mean, they hide them. The information's there if we look hard enough. And so this is really just hopefully – I want to call it a cleanup or a stop, an unintended consequence of when that position may show up. And if it doesn't make the appropriations bill or the contract commences in January, how that's all going to work. And I don't think it's defined in this bill. And I think the process works now. And so what I hope this amendment does is puts the burden on us to deny a contract if we really feel that that contract's an error. But I do think we need to trust the executive branch, especially right now when they're all having a decreased amount of funding, that if they do put one of these AWACs forward, A, we're going to know about it. B, I'm pretty confident it's going to be necessary when I'm talking to all the state agency directors in the state. And so I think this is one more burden on us as a body, that if we're going to have to start going through these AWACs, we had lots of discussions on certain positions. You add the AWAC contracts. It's a knowledge base that, you know, in the 37 days we're going to be here next year, you're going to have to know about everything else in the budget, plus what all these AWACs do, because a lot of times they're highly specialized for specific purposes and require a level of knowledge. And it's really tough for us as legislators who may not have that that purview or that career field, et cetera, to really understand why that AWAC contract is necessary. And so I do think we should leave it in the purview of the executive branch, that in some of these cases they do know how to manage their funds appropriately because they're here every day trying to do work on behalf of the people.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 103. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed,
no.
Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 103 has failed. Division being called. All in favor, please stand. All in favor, please stand. All against. I'm sorry. All opposed. I'm sorry. More than 17. Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 103 has failed. Senate File 103 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be heard a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. We're now on that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the consent list consisting of the following bills for third reading. Senate File 7, 23, 26, 46, 49, 56, and 59.
Does anyone wish to have any bills removed from the consent list? The reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate File 7 for Minerals, an act relating to municipal solid waste facilities remediation projects, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 23 for Minerals, an act relating to environmental quality, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 26 from the Management Audit Committee, an act relating to administration of government, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 46 from Judiciary, an act relating to the Wyoming Controlled Substances Act, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 49 from Labor, an act relating to insurance, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 56 from Labor, an act relating to Medical Assistance and Services Act, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 59 from Appropriations, an act relating to administration of government, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi. Jennings, Kasparic,
aye.
Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne, Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to Senate File 7, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to Senate File 23, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to Senate File 26, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to Senate File 46, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to Senate File 49, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to Senate File 56, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to Senate File 59, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 7, 23, 26, 46, 49, 56, and 59 have passed the House. We're now in that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Regular, the first bill for our consideration is Senate File 8. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 8 from Travel, an act relating to highway, bicycle, and pedestrian safety, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 8. This was brought, the idea came, the chair of TRW and I have a common friend in the Valley of the Tetons. He's an ex-legislator, and he was listening to our debate yesterday and emailed and said, gave me some good advice about this bill. He has a different opinion than the TRW committee who brought this bill and encouraged me to bring an amendment to look at the bicycle and pedestrian task force. And I'm just thinking this is not a good time to bring this forth. So because he told me to do this and I thought it was a good idea, I will do so. We're short on funds right now, and I do appreciate the folks that brought this saying they would have electronic meetings. I think that's going to be savings, but still we are starting a new task force with 7 state employees. And the suggestion was made that the transportation department, as they're designing roads, know the needs, the traffic, and the costs, he suggested that we turn this over to them. And I think this was part of the discussion yesterday, so I make that recommendation right now that we do not pass this and we let them do it. Plus, we need the cities and counties to have some buy-in. So with that, I'll just listen to the debate. Thank you.
Chairman Petroff.
Yes.
For your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So as far as on and against the amendment and in favor of the bill, as far as the local buy-in, the locals are the ones who are asking for this. This isn't about the transportation department and highways. They already have a task force. This is about our locals having access to the same information that the state has. So what our locals and our bike riders and our health professionals and our citizens are asking for is when we're planning these things in our own communities, we want to have access to the safety information, the long-term maintenance costs. We want to know the economic potential benefits or not benefits. Maybe it doesn't make sense to do it in our communities, and we need to have access to that information. The communities want to know what other projects are being planned in the state, both state projects and other community projects. And to have some of our small communities hunt out this information and not have any kind of place they can go to have coordinated information just doesn't make any sense. This is about our locals. And so with that, Mr. Speaker, I'll just end with saying that this is there's a very small cost to this. There's no appropriation associated with it, and I think we owe it to our locals to be able to share the information we have. Thank you.
Representative Kinner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I certainly appreciate the concerns that my good neighbor over here brought, but in his final remarks, he mentioned that we need the counties and so on to weigh in on this. Well, this is a great opportunity to do that, and I think what a great example of a grassroots effort where they come to us and ask to have a committee that can bring communities together to discuss this. So I would certainly suggest that this is the way to do it. The folks in my area would really like to visit with folks around the other area in an organized fashion. And their really main focus is that they believe at the end of the day this really supports the economic benefits of our state and travel and tourism. And I would suggest that this might be a great time to encourage those folks along those lines. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So we've already got a task force that handles this situation in a department. And so this task force is set up so that the locals, towns, and counties can participate. But I highly doubt that the task force that is already in place is banning people from showing up, these locals, towns, and counties, from actually participating. Furthermore, I'm guessing that their information is readily available on their website, much like any other task force that they run. So why do a duplication of effort? Why not just concentrate down on this one task force? I think we would actually be a lot more effective in that regard. On and against the bill for the amendment.
Representative Edwards, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the problems I have with the bill, this will be on and against the bill, the problem I have with it is it gives an expectation when we do the task force that they will be expecting the state to step up and help individual communities to help out in their own bike paths that would be better off left for that community to decide where they wanted them. If they wanted them, they could fund their own without the expectation of that coming from the YDOT that they're not able to keep up with the roads they have to expand it, and to give them the expectation that we're going to give them money, I don't think is a good idea. On and against the bill.
Chairman Swanister, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And to follow along the lines from the fine representative from House District 1, there is a task force in in place at the moment. It's been there for a couple of years. And what's happened is last year they hired a consultant to bring all this together. And so they're at that phase at the moment to bring that information about which areas are worthy of looking into deeper and further. And what they're wanting to do and hoping, I think, to do is some of the members on that task force would also serve on this next task force. So there's like $3.6 million out there, and I think $1.5 million has to go to the state park system, but that still leaves a couple of million dollars. And these are funds that are federal funds, but they do need, if I'm not mistaken, a 20% match by the local communities to spend that money. So I just want everybody to be aware of where the one task force is and where they hope the second task force will go. So they put a lot of work into getting all the preliminary work done to lay it down in front of the cities and counties and the other people that are interested in these bike paths so they can have some input on it. And with that, I will turn it to the next speaker.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment and on the bill, Wyoming is risking getting left behind on this burgeoning trend of bicycling. If we visit the park immediately to the west of us, you will see the parking lot full every weekend, full of cars with out-of-state license plates and bicycle racks. There are small businesses opening up in our towns just to serve this new sport, the sport that's new to Wyoming. Anyway, I urge your support on Senate File 8. Thank you.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment and on in favor of the bill, just a couple points. Part of the intent of this task force is to broaden the participation beyond just YDOT and that somewhat narrower focus to bring more members of the community into the discussion at the table. And I would add it's more than just about pathways. This is about pedestrian activities. It's about natural trails in our state parks. It encompasses many different things that the current task force is not addressing. So I urge your support of the bill. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Recently, and I don't know when it's going to be announced, but recently our community was awarded one of the first destination spots for a trail that is interstate bicycle trail. And a lot of this trail runs over national forest, doesn't touch highways, and yet also in our community we have multi-jurisdictional trails that are around in a variety of roads and highways. And I think to have, the highway transportation, I guess their committee has got a very specific task. And this is to look at to create an ability to oversee and try to coordinate multi-jurisdictional efforts. And I think the more we can bring people and communities together to have these discussions, the more efficiencies in the end we'll have, because maybe it'll coordinate grant writing. And I just think there's a lot of possibilities here. I don't think we should. And obviously, if the locals are asking for this, they don't think the current committee in transportation is doing the task that needs to be done.
Representative Freeman.
Speaking now for a second. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment for the bill, with the downturn in a lot of industries around here, our number two is tourism. We need to boost this up. I see a lot of cities. This city we're in right now has done a lot with bike lanes you see around different parts of the town. We need to get all the players together on whatever task force it may or may not be. But we need to get this rolling, as you might say, down the streets of Wyoming. So on and for this bill, against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, learning a lot here. We have a task force that's already in existence, and we've also hired a consultant that task force has put into place to study this issue. I'm not disagreeing that we shouldn't look at avenues to expand on tourism. Absolutely, we should. But has anybody actually approached this task force to see if they'd be willing to expand their area that they're looking at? Because that's one of the issues we're hearing, is that they're narrowed down to just one point. Have we approached them and asked them to look farther and to, before we go ahead and do this, what kind of research has been done? Is this truly needed? Because as of right now, I'm not hearing why we absolutely have to do this. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Zwanitz or Dan? Dave, sorry.
I'm sorry, I was looking around at the mics. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You know, you look a lot the same.
Well, we do. It's probably some sort of family resemblance. Hey, I wasn't going to take my second, but I did want to answer. My understanding of the first task force is they're putting everything into place. Which are the most receptive places to have bike paths? Which places are more susceptible to accidents and we should stay away from them? And so what we're doing is there are going to be a couple of, or what my understanding is, not we're involved because it went out of my committee 2 years ago, but at that time it was to bring forth this takeover point. And I believe that's what this task force is doing. The last one has got everything into place. They're going to switch some members, get it more in the city and counties. They will have the actual work that the department that takes care of highways and stuff have already done, and they got this map all figured out, so it'll make it a lot easier for this task force to look and choose.
Chairman Petroff, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So to expand on what the Chairman of Transportation said, the task force that's in place is run by YDOT, which is specifically looking at state and federal highways, and that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the local pathways. And so some of those members, I think it's only one or two maybe, and it might only be one, is really crossing over, and they're just crossing over to be able to share some of the data they have. But this is really an entirely different thing. This is dealing with, you know, our local pathways and our local trails. Thank you.
Representative Freeman, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a bicycle tourist, Wyoming is behind, maybe as much as 30 years behind. It is not really that bike friendly. This task force is a committee to create a synergy of groups, the community, the healthcare, private groups, and YDOT. It's set to improve safety. It's not too long ago, I think it's just last year, that 5 people died in 1 year, and that's way too much. It has a lot to do with economic development. The state of beavers and ducks have documented $1.1 million a year just in bicycles, and that's not small change. And if you kind of look at, are there very many people, I would submit that if you start looking at the back of cars in about a month or 2 months, you can start counting the bike racks of people that are going through. The task force that's meeting now is primarily concentrating on streets and roads and highways, and it's not part of the economic development. It's primarily with safety. And if you're worried about that we're going to hire a consultant, there's no money to hire a consultant. It is going to be the local expertise of the state agencies, the people that are working in economic development, and I think that those are the best consultants that we can get. There is a lot of low-hanging fruit to make Wyoming bike-friendly. And until we have a concentrated effort to do that, that fruit won't be picked on against the amendment and for the bill.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Don't know if I quite agree with everything that's being said. I have in my hand from the Department of Transportation talking about this very subject. And let me read you a little bit of this. To expand travel choices, enhance transportation experience, integrating modes and improving cultural, historic, environmental aspects. They're talking about bicycle pedestrian facilities, streetscape improvements, refurbishing historic sites. I'm thinking what they're doing is what everybody's asking, the last few speakers have asked, and it's made up of the association here, the people that are in it, the Association of Municipalities, the county commissioners, so there's our cities and counties, the state parks, the Department of Transportation, and some federal agencies. So I would submit that the agency is doing. And I do agree with a lot of the points that have been brought up. We can make it better, and we need to look at it. My thing is, I just don't think right now is the time in our economic condition to start another task force to do what is being pretty well done, as I just pointed out. And I think it's something that we can keep on the back burner, and oil comes up and gas comes up. I think that would be the time to start another task force. So I would withdraw this amendment, Mr. Speaker, and urge your no vote.
Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 8 has been withdrawn. Senate File 8, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Baker. No. Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake. Burkhart, Bird, Campbell, Kennedy, Clem, Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Escobel, Freeman, Gay, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic, Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
no.
Lindholm,
no.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
no.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder, Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 38 aye, 22 no.
Senate File 8, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 8 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 47. The reading clerk will read the file.
Actually, it's House Joint Resolution 999. This. All it was just to have a vote on whether Representative Yagi should be up here in a little bit. Senate File 47 from Judiciary. An act relating to criminal history records being enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pursuant to House Rule 7-3, I'd like to lay this bill back one day. We're fine-tuning an amendment or two.
Without objection. Whoa, there is an objection. Holy smokes. Chairman Swanser Dave.
Mr. Speaker, what is the last day to have bills out on third reading? Is it Tuesday?
Tuesday.
No, it'd be
Wednesday. Wednesday.
Next week? No objection.
Without objection. Senate File 47 is laid back one day. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole to hear the following bills on general file: Senate File 40, 15, 37, 30, 45, 42, 57, 38, 63, and 65.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Representative Yeagy. Representative Yeagy, there's been an objection, but I'm going to overrule it.
Before we start, I did a little digging, came up with some facts. This is really an outstanding group of people, and I don't know if you realize how few people have had the chance to sit in those chairs in the state of Wyoming since 1890 we started. So I did a little research and came up with 1,916. That's the number of elected officials have been there since, been in our seats. That's including you. And all the seats that have been moved around. Just a little, there's 1,700 men and 113 females, 648 Democrats, 1,252 Republicans, one independent, and six populists. I didn't even know what a populist was, but I think that's the people that don't have a party affiliation. So there's your little trivia for the day. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 40. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Oh. Are you done?
Rich is kind, isn't he?
Senate File 40 from Appropriations, an act relating to abandoned mine land funds, authorizing application for funds, appropriating and specifying authorized use of funds, reappropriating prior authorizations, redirecting prior authorizations, specifying and amending reversion dates for funds, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 40 engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye are Representatives Burkhart, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 40 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment and to explain the bill and the amendment as a good representative from Carbon County.
Okay. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know why this position is almost invisible, but so, ladies and gentlemen, I know a lot of you have asked me questions about this bill and has asked other members of the Appropriations Committee the same thing. So we'll go through this. I'd first like to discuss in the Standing Committee Amendment. What this amendment does is extends AML funding for the extension for the University of Wyoming's Reclamation Restoration Challenge account. This account was set up to encourage people to come up with new and different ways to restore and reclaim mine land, some new ideas, that sort of thing. It is a matched account, and the university really just wants to extend out the dates to let them achieve a better match. They haven't had quite as much as they would like, and that's what this does. All of this is in existing statute, and the amendment extends out the dates from 2016 to 2018, and I'm on line 24, on line 25 to 26 from 2018 to 2020 to, well, 20, and then on line 34 extends out the date to 2022 to give them enough time to look for more of these matching funds and to do more of this research. And I'd stand for questions. Question?
Thank you. I just wondered, making sure that it had been moved. You've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question has been called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The standing committee number one to House Bill 4 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'll go through the bill page by page, item by item. Again, I had some questions about some of the details in here, so this will give us a chance to look at them a little better. If you go over to page 2 at the bottom, line 22, $76.5 million is the reclamation money. This is what goes to reclaim abandoned mine lands. That's as simple as you can get to look at it. This is the money that's coming in, and that's what it does, pays for those reclamations. So we have some projects I know all of you are familiar with in the state that we've done. Okay, moving over to page 3, line 6, and that paragraph, Romanet 2, the $162.3 million is the prior balance amount that we've talked so much about in here, and that's the money that's owed to us that we finally got back thanks to our congressional delegation. Romanet 3, moving down, $1.3 million is a repayment to that prior balance that we borrowed for some of these in a while in the past, so it goes back in there. We have to account for it. We have to appropriate for it. And then on Romanet 4, $1.8 million is, again, prior balance money that went for the Solid Waste Management Division. So, the next heading, which is right at the bottom of page 2, line 19, reappropriation of prior authorizations. These were prior monies, and we have to reappropriate them so that we can spend it. Page 4, starting on line 7, $1.49 plus million is reappropriated to address statewide energy impacts. I think that's kind of obvious. Romanet 2, $1.4 million, or as much as remains to reappropriate for the solid waste orphan sites. And I think all of you are familiar with those. We have a number of them in the state. We do have to clean them up. Nobody owns them. It falls to the state to do that. Romanet 3, $1.5 million, which goes to the STEM building at the university. I'm on page 5, Romanet 4, $500,000 for maintenance of ambient air monitorings. These specifically, excuse me, were in Sublette County when we had the ozone issues up there, and that's where that went. Romanet 5, $472,000 or as much remains for statewide energy impacts. And again, it's air monitoring for those other impacts, such as in the basin to the west of us and some of those other areas. Okay. Again, the heading at the bottom of page 5, line 21, redirection of prior authorizations. What this is, and if you look over to Section 3 at the top of page 6, this is reverted money that is redirected to the highway funds from finished projects. I believe there were something like 7 projects that were finished. This is a total of $1.729 million left over, and it goes to the highway funds for those projects that we've talked about. Okay. On Section 4, line 12 on page 6, moving down that, the extension of prior authorizations, at the bottom, line 19, solid waste orphan sites, and it extends the date on that. If you move over to page 7, again, that's where the date extension is to 2018. Moving down on that page to line 20, Romanet 7, $2 million to the Office of the Governor. This is the CO2 corridors we've talked about in the past, to be able to run pipelines to sell CO2 to some of these tertiary recoveries in the oil and gas industry. Page 8, lines 3 and 4, puts that under the direction of the governor's office. Page 8, line 14, merely changes the statute. Next paragraph, Romanet 5, line 18, extends the date to 2018 from 2016. At the bottom of that page, line 20, are prior authorizations, and they revert, and that continues over on page 9. And if you look about the middle of the page, Romanet 3, that money reverts, and that is, excuse me, there was $1 million in there for natural gas fueling stations. I think you remember that discussion. They weren't built, so that money reverts. Romanet 5, there was $9 million in there for a natural gas to gasoline research project. Those monies revert. And where they're going specifically in the future, $7 million go to the state facilities in Casper, the new building, and $3 million to the engineering building at the university. Okay. And moving on to the last page is Section 7 and the effective date. And with that, I'll stand for questions.
Are there any other questions? Question haven't been called for. Are you ready? Oh, excuse me. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question. Although first I would like to commend the presenter for his clear presentation of a subject that I have previously not spent much time on, so I think that was great. My question is on page 6. The first 8 lines where it was presented that these were previously appropriated and reverted funds, I just wasn't clear. The presenter talked about finished projects. So were these projects that we finished? And I'm sorry, I didn't quite grasp that. And at the same time, I would like to draw LSO's attention to a typo on line 10 extension. But if the presenter could just flesh that finished projects part out a little bit for me.
Are there any other discussion? Representative Throne.
Mr. Chairman, if you could give me a minute and maybe the good representative could answer the first question.
That would be fine. Representative Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On Section 3 on page 6, these were smaller projects that had money left over. They were completed. They were done. The money is left over. It'll revert into the highway fund, similar to what we're doing with the other AML funds. We have to, in effect, spend the funds before we can get them, and that's a way to do it by putting them in the highway fund. So out of the 7 projects, there was $1.729 million left. So that will revert. It'll go into the Department of Transportation for highway funds and then come back as general funds so we can use those. I don't have a list of all of the projects in there. There were a number of them. There were some solid waste projects and some air quality monitoring and some other things.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I know how to ask this question. So we're taking all the AML money that we just received in December, or most of it, $162 million. It is going into the Department of Transportation and then coming, it's like a swap of money. And that $162 million is coming into the general fund, and that's my understanding. We'll see that in another bill, but I kind of like to know where all this stuff is, but I can't really follow it with all these different bills, and I think it's important for the floor to understand that. And then second, my question's easier. You mentioned some reversions. There was $3 million going somewhere and $7 million going somewhere else, and I missed that. If you could repeat that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, I'll take the second part of that question first. And that's on page 9, right in the middle, Romanet 3. And that was originally $1 million for the natural gas fueling stations. We had some discussion in this body a few years ago about building one kind of in somewhat the center of the state along the interstate corridor to fuel vehicles. That never occurred. It was just considered not appropriate use, and they couldn't make it work. In Romanet 5, and that was $1 million, in Romanet 5, that was $9 million previously appropriated to a natural gas to gasoline project, which, again, was not considered viable, so the money is still there. So the $1 million from the natural gas fueling station and the $9 million are coming back. We're reverting them back, and then they will be reappropriated, and that is in the capital construction bill. $7 million will go to the Casper building, the Casper facilities, and $3 million to the engineering building at the university. So that's where they go. So that kind of starts to explain a little bit of the first question the good representative had on the AML money going to the Department of Transportation. The AML money that's going to the Department of Transportation is covered on page 2, mostly under Romanet 2, $162.3 million. Romanet 3 and 4 will move into that also, but that's the bulk of the money. What we've run into in the past, we were kind of given our AML funds and we could do what we wished with them because we're a certified state under SMACRA, which is, I can't remember what the acronym stands for. But it's the surface mining says they've looked at the program we have, we meet all their qualifications, they like us, they trust us to do the right thing with the money. What they're requiring now with the prior authorization is, in effect, that we spend the money before we get it. We have to put money up front. So what we'll do is as highway projects are finished, we will go and apply for the AML funds, these $162 million and that. So they will pay for those that we've already paid up for out of general funds. So in effect, the money comes back into the general fund to be used for other purposes. In this session, I think our main purpose to use those is the capital construction. And that bill you'll see here in a day or two. And that's kind of it in a nutshell. Representative, did I explain that adequately?
Representative Throne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under the Surface Mining Control Reclamation Act, just to fill in the acronym, is it acceptable for us to use our AML money this way? Do we have any concerns about that? Or because a lot of those capital construction projects are not anything remotely related to abandoned mine lands.
Representative Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My understanding it is because we're using it on our highway projects, and all the highways in Wyoming are considered mineral impacted, in effect.
Representative Dobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The other aspect of it is the $76 million that we're spending on reclamation that's found on page 2. We actually arguably, under the congressional approval that released the AMLs, could use that for other purposes as well. But we really structured this as conservatively as possible. We're taking that $76 million, using it for the reclamation demands of the state. And so we've really taken the most conservative approach as we possibly could with these AML dollars to make sure that they're not, again, jeopardized in the future, though. We know they're always in jeopardy, but we've done our best to limit that danger.
Representative Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I need to have a better understanding of where I think what you're saying, you're swapping money out of YDOT, and the kind of money we have to swap is like fuel tax revenue and things like that. And we have constraints on fuel tax revenue. I don't know if that kind of a swap, if there's an allowance for that or what. But and the other thing I was wondering about, if the committee made any consideration on doing these swaps in such a way that we actually have a fund set aside to deal with abandoned mine lands. We, you know, you read the paper every day, and we've got self bonds that some people don't think are sufficient to reclaim abandoned mine lands if they ever should become abandoned. Maybe they will become abandoned, maybe they won't. But at this point, it seems like we have to consider that.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to answer the Chairman of Revenue, the agency he referred to that the swap is going to occur, the exchange, probably has the best financial system in the country. And so that swap will occur with severance dollars, federal mineral royalties, and other general gas tax type funds. And then we also put in there a fund that increased the borrowing authority, a 0% interest out of the agency pool to make sure there's not a cash flow issue. It's very appropriate. We've done it for the last 10 years with this agency. It's the most effective way and most transparent way and, frankly, the best and quickest way to do it. And you'll recall back that appendix that had the information on this issue. I think doing that in this way, your committee was trying to do this so it moves sooner. I mean, you could divide this up into a bunch of little $10 million projects, and you could put this 10 in a pot that you say you're going to use for reclamation that never gets used and then somehow gets pulled back. And I don't think that'd be appropriate. Now, in terms of the reclamation question, this $76 million there's going to be some more installments of that. That's not a one-time, and so I think as we'll have more reclamation dollars continue to come to the state, and we'll continue to look at those projects and talk about that idea. But I don't think with these prior balance funds that we want to do that. I think the bill is structured really well to accomplish what we want to do, and if these funds that Wyoming taxpayers paid back to Wyoming as quickly as we can. So, thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if I may ask the presenter a question, it was my understanding that we've seen these AML funds disappear. We've just got them back, but we've no guarantee that they won't be taken again. We don't have them in our possession, and so I think the intent is to identify projects that we could apply for those funds and get them captured and have them in our possession before the federal action perhaps removed them and spent them someplace else in the country. And so that we knew that the impacts that we have on our roads and highways are projects that have either been completed or are done, and we could go and immediately request those funds to where we wouldn't be at risk of losing them again. And so if he could just validate or tell me I'm full of bunk, I'd appreciate that.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, you're not full of bunk. Pretty much what you said, good representative, is what happens. I think you remember a few days ago the chairman of appropriations indicated that we almost lost these funds by 9 votes in the U.S. Congress. Out of 435, we managed to keep them by only 9 votes. I think all of us realize there may be other attacks on this money and other attempts to get this money for things in other parts of the country. There are some congressmen who would love to have $162 million for their own pet projects somewhere. We need to put that money to work right now for us in Wyoming, do what we need to do to get it, keep it here. So that pretty much means we've got to spend it as soon as possible. So, Representative, you're pretty much correct in your questions. That's why we're doing it.
Minority Floor Leader Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this is the other piece of this sort of four-bill combination that I have trouble understanding. So we're taking $162 million away from the Department of Transportation. Are we leaving them whole? That's one comment. And then was there any discussion in appropriations of maybe adding something to deal with future reclamation? I have faith that people will be mining in our northeast PRB for years to come, and they'll make money and they'll meet their reclamation obligations. But if for some reason any one of them doesn't, our concerns about the school foundation accounts will pale in comparison. And so I hope there's some discussion of future sort of contingency planning. Thank you.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the first part of that, the Department of Transportation will be kept whole. It's merely a way of spending money. It's kind of if you borrow out of your own savings account because you need to buy a vehicle or something, and you put it back out of your checking account, and that's just the way you handle your funds. Both are kept whole. This is one where we'll keep the Department of Transportation's funding whole. And as the good chairman said, you know, they have a tremendous accounting system. They can account for pennies, and that's what you need in this sort of swapping of funds, to be able to account for it specifically when you get audited. They have a very excellent track record on that, and that's why we do it with that agency. As to the second part, we haven't specifically assigned money to any future projects. We don't know what they would be. We do have the, again, on page 2 at the bottom on line 22, there was $76 million assigned specifically for mine land reclamation, and we will do that and have used that money already for some very old projects in the western part of the state, town that was had buildings collapsing into some old underground workings. And there are a number of those, and we continue to use those monies for that.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of questions for clarification. It's my understanding that when the money passes through YDOT, then it is considered spent. And I just wondered if you discussed maybe putting some money back into savings to replenish the funds we've used this session, or if that would be an option for us. Thank you.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, Representative, your first part was correct. The money has to be spent. The AML prior balance has to be pretty much spent to get it right now. So, you know, we don't have really that option of directly putting that into savings. So that's the route we've taken with the swaps.
Any other questions on the bill? Question being called. Those in favor of Representative Harshman's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 40 do pass please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 40 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 15.
Mr. Chairman.
Excuse me. Representative Blake asked for a privilege of the floor, and I forgot him. Representative Blake,
privilege
please,
of the floor.
While your folks are there, please do.
In the back here, we have a couple distinguished gentlemen from Sweetwater County, the largest county in the state of Wyoming. And I'll introduce them first, then I just got a brief story. One is Paul Eng, who is the Environmental Health Supervisor, Sweetwater County, and his cohort there is John Vase. Please stand. Give him a big hand. Here's the sweet part. I think I can show this. It's not a prop on a bill, but Mr. Eng has provided everyone an autographed copy of this book, of his photography, which is fantastic. And it's of Wyoming, 25 years of exploration in Wyoming's Red Desert. He's providing these to each one of us. So please give him a hand. And thank you. Welcome to Cheyenne.
We welcome you here, and thank you very much for your gift. Representative Blake, you can have that anytime you have people hand out. Okay, the next bill for our consideration is Senate File 15. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 15 from Statewide Education, an act relating to the Hathaway Scholarship Program, replacing the American College Test requirements for scholarship eligibility, defining national percentile rank, defining minimum national percentile ranks for scholarship eligibility as specified, eliminating fully executed reporting requirements, specifying applications, repealing a definition, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 4, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 15, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Freeman, Hunt, Yeagie, Kinner, Northrop, Paxton, Piperina, Summers, and Throne, signed by Representative Northrop, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Northrop.
I move that when a committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File number 15 do pass, and I will explain the bill. Senate File 15 is a continuation of the accountability group. The accountability committee was told that during the summer that we need to not be so prescriptive in our legislation, and one of the things that we're prescriptive about is vendors. In fact, we even say the name ACT. We come out and literally say ACT will do this test. And so what we've done is went back into this bill and made it more generic. So if you turn to page 2, you'll see that now we now have a national percentile rank. And you can read the national percentile rank and how that works. And then on page 3, that this college examination, entrance examination, will be used throughout the United States. Well, everybody knows there's only 2 that really are. And so we're talking about one of the 2. Also, you'll see down there on line 12 is the word work keys. You may not know what work keys means. Work keys is a job skill assessment that helps employers select, hire, develop, and retain a high-performance workforce. So it's another test to test high school kids as they're getting out to see how well they are situated for that. Go to page 4. You'll finally see the meat of the potatoes here. And yes. Okay. So when you have a cumulative score of 2.5 and you're looking to get a Hathaway scholarship, you used to have to score a 19 on the ACT. But now we're using national percentile ranking and you have to score a 43. On line 10, you see the same thing with the GPA of 3.0. It was a 21 to get the Hathaway scholarship, and now it's changed to 56. Continues on line 19 with a GPA of 3.5, was 25, and now it's a 79. So as you're going through this, you'll see that there's a provisional Hathaway scholarship on page 5, and that provisional is described on line 13 of page 5, and it says anybody with a GPA of 2.0 or an ACT of 17 can get that provisional scholarship, and now we've changed that to a national percentile ranking of 30. Continuing through the bill, you'll just see that we've changed ACT with national percentile ranking scores. That continues all the way through the bill, and I'd be glad to take questions or stand for the question.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just quickly add that with this work keys provision being put in there as something not necessarily as an alternative but also as another option, I think that this goes somewhat of the way towards filling the void that I was attempting the last couple of years with the $140 million or so odd dollars of a black hole that I was trying to create a second scholarship program with. So for those who are more interested in taking a vocational or career tech pathway, this is an option that they have now, and it's not strictly just the ACT. So I think that this is a good step forward, and I'm in favor of the bill. Thank you.
Any other discussion on bill? Question being called. Those in favor of Representative Northrup's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 15 do pass. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Mr. Chairman.
Just a sec. Senate File 15 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Majority Floor Leader Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? I'm sorry. The ayes have it. We got to go. Committee announcements. Representative Miller, Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number one, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow, Thursday, February 25th at noon in room H38 to consider the following bills. Senate File 50, Engrossed, Sexual Assault, Position of Authority. Senate File 6, First Judicial District, Number of District Judges, and if introduced and referred, Senate File 96, Engrossed, our favorite bill, Marijuana Edibles.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment today in room H37 to hear four bills, Senate File 43 engrossed, Senate File 61, Senate File 58 engrossed, Senate File 86. And Mr. Chairman, if I may, we are having an additional meeting this week outside of our regular meeting time. So we will meet again tomorrow, Thursday, February 25th, 10 minutes after noon recess, in room H36, it's a different room, a different day, a different time, where we will hear two bills, Senate File 60, Engrossed, Public Health Nursing, and Senate File 73, Engrossed, Welfare Fraud Protection, if time permits.
Speaker Pro Tem Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just want to remind the members of the majority that the majority will caucus upon recess in L-51.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in H-36 to consider three bills, Senate File 52, State Shrub, Senate File 53, Large Project Funding, Senate Joint Number 4, Labeling of Genetic Engineered Items.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Joint Conference Committee on House Bill 1 will begin its first meeting today at 1 p.m. in the Joint Appropriations Room. In addition, your House Appropriations Committee will continue to consider re-referred bills on adjournment today and any other bills that are assigned to our committee. Thank you.
Minority Whip Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The minority party will be caucusing today in H-33 on noon adjournment.
Now what do I say, Patty? We're done.
The House, Chairman Northrop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Education number 4 will meet upon adjournment. 10 minutes, actually, after adjournment, we're going to discuss two bills, Senate File 24, Supplemental At-Risk Funding, and Senate File 81, Catholic School Construction.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you. Sorry, Mr. Chairman. I have one more for House Appropriations Committee number 2. It's Senate File 92, State Construction Department. I think we're planning on hearing tomorrow at 8, but it might be moved to noon recess as well. Thank you.
Any other committee assignments? The House is adjourned till 2 o'clock.